God, you are wise and wonderful in all your ways. We pray, God, that you have been dancing on the praises of your people this morning. You are a great comfort to us. You are the one who provides for all our needs. You are constant and consistent and faithful. It's beyond our comprehension. And Father, we pray for that for our brothers and sisters, for others of the flock around the world. Shattered glass made it difficult for us to gather this morning, for some of us at least. And yet we know that many of our brothers and sisters around the world face that and much more every day. And so God, we lift up our brothers and sisters who experience persecution, who experience the challenges of daily life because of famine or lack of water or lack of good leadership. Father, we ask that we would be mindful of the fact that there are those of your flock for whom every day is a struggle. And we ask, Lord, that the gifts that we give would not only bless this community here, but through Operation Manna will bless other communities in your name. You are a God who can take a little and make it into incredible, incredible things. We remember a small jar of oil and a small bowl of flour that sustained a family days beyond what they could have imagined. And we ask that you would continue to do that for the church around the world. That you would be with diaconal ministries, not only here, but we think of World Renew. We think of people who represent us around the world, shining light into dark situations. We pray that you will be with them, that you will sustain them. Father, we pray for this church community as we continue to look for a pastor. We thank you for providing so many new helpers in our midst. We thank you for the way that you have walked with us through this time of transition. You are very faithful, and you've shown yourself to be that in a time that's unsettling for many of us. God, we pray for this community here. May we be light and salt to our neighbors. May we be the type of church that is inviting and welcoming. May our neighbors know that there is a place for them here. May you give us a creative spirit to figure new strategies and plans for engaging with our neighborhood. God, we pray for the broader city, for our country. God, we ask that you would raise up leaders who know and love you. We pray that you would raise up leaders who follow you. And if they don't know you, God, we ask that you would surround them with people that do. That would point them to your truth, to your way, to your justice, to your mercy. Father, we ask that you would be with those among us who struggle with health, who may struggle with depression or loneliness, anxiety. God, may we be under shepherds who walk alongside those who need your special presence through the work of your people today and throughout the week. And Father, we ask now that you would open our eyes so that we can see you. Open our hearts so that we can receive you. Open our ears so that we may take in your word. We thank you for the work of your Spirit to make this possible. And we pray that all that we have said and done in this place would ultimately bring you honor and glory. We pray this in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have been immersed in Psalm 23 this morning. We cannot leave this place without thinking about the shepherd, that leads us and cares for us. I'm going to read Psalm 23 as our first scripture this morning. And then after that, our scripture goes to the New Testament, to John 10, verses 11 through 18. First, Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And then our New Testament reading from the book of John. John 10, starting at verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and it scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father. This is the word of the Lord. So my husband Tom, who's the pastor at Georgetown CRC, just got back from Israel and from hiking paths of righteousness with many other paths, with pastors in classes. I did not get to go with him. So I have to live vicariously through his stories. But when he found out that I was preaching on the Good Shepherd, he said, here's one thing you need to keep in mind. He loves to have someone to teach. Sheep are made to follow. Goats, they're hard to wrangle. But sheep are made to follow. And that was helpful to me as I was thinking about this passage and thinking about sheep, because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know a whole lot about sheep. I was raised in a city. My closest sheep encounter recently was not a very happy one. We had a friend. My husband always likes to work for our vegetables, so we'll work at a CSA. We had a friend who owned a farm, and so Tom would work a day a week, and then we would get vegetables from that farm. And this was a few years ago, and we had gone to visit the farmer, and they weren't home, but the sheep were out. This was not good for me. Tom said, well, we got to get the sheep back in. I said, what about me? He screams, I can do this. I'm not good around animals that don't obey me. And sheep are bigger than you think they are. The ones that we see in all these lovely cards and stuff, they're usually the little lambs. This was a big sheep, and it kept trying to butt me because I kept trying to get it into the pen. I did not think much of sheep that day. And I did not think that sheep would be good followers. But here's the thing. Not only was I not the shepherd, that sheep didn't know me. It didn't need to obey me. I wasn't even a hired hand. That sheep did not recognize me from anywhere. It was a good lesson for me to remember that sheep get used to their shepherd because the shepherd puts so much work in getting to know the sheep. When we listen to Psalm 23, we have to remember that this is a shepherd king who's relating what it means to be a shepherd king and how God has shepherded him. He's taking his life experience as he herded sheep, took care of sheep, protected sheep, and he's making a connection there to how God has been shepherding him through a very difficult reign and rule. We know King David wasn't perfect, but we do know that he had a heart after God, and that he was able to make the connection between God's care for him and his care for sheep in a very strong way. David reminds us that the shepherd king knows the needs of the flock and supplies them. One of the things I did to do in order to prepare for this sermon was to just learn a little bit about sheep. And one of the aha moments I had, because I come out from out west, I am used to cowboys. Cowboys drive cows. Cowboys get on horses and they push cows where they need to go. And they can do that. Why? Because cows have the stamina for it. Sheep do not. Shepherds do not drive the sheep. Shepherds walk alongside the sheep. Shepherds pace the sheep because they know how fast the sheep can go and when their energy will run out. Shepherds also know that sheep can't drink from running water. They would drown. The way that their faces are shaped, they couldn't take in the water. So a good shepherd, when it comes to a place where the water is free and flowing but unuseful to the sheep, will take its staff and we'll make a little rivulet so that the water can come out and the water is still so that the sheep can drink it. It's not easy work being a shepherd and taking care of those sheep. The shepherd knows, and Tom related this beautifully, that there are all sorts of paths all through the area where shepherds keep sheep, but not all of them are righteous. Not all of them lead to life. Some of them can be a path that leads right to a cliff, and if a sheep wasn't paying attention, over it would go. A shepherd's job was to find the righteous path, the path that led to life, the path that led to thriving. And sometimes even righteous paths go through the valley of the shadow. Sometimes, Tom said, the cliffs around them were so high that the temperature would go down so quickly, you wouldn't believe that you were still out in the middle of kind of wilderness land. Tom said that as they were going through, because it was darker, you can never quite knew if what the next step was going to look like, and it was scary sometimes. They had to trust their shepherd who knew the path, the righteous path, the path to life. Tom said he could imagine what it was like to be a sheep, to want to kind of look ahead and see George, the rabbi, to make sure they were on the right path, just like a sheep might look ahead and see that staff up high, knowing, okay, as long as I follow that, I'm in a good place. Shepherd's job was to protect the sheep, and the flock would learn the shepherd's voice, learn the shepherd's call, learn to trust them so they did not have to be afraid when they were walking through steep paths. They could trust that the shepherd knew where he was going. Shepherds also knew that there were all different kinds of danger, not just falling off the path, not just wolves. But when the psalmist writes about preparing a table in front of the enemies, he knows that when the sheep find the green pasture, there often would be holes in the ground where vipers could come up and nip at the sheep's nose. And so what the shepherd would do was take a bottle of oil and pour it around the different holes so it was hard for the viper to get out, and the oil didn't smell good, so the sheep wouldn't get as close to the hole. Prepared a table, even though the enemies were right there, but protected the sheep. That same oil would sometimes be useful when it was a very hot day and the path of righteousness to calm waters was longer than normal. The shepherd would take that oil and put it on the head of each of his sheep, and it would create a barrier so that the sheep would not perspire too much and get dehydrated and not be able to make it to the next pasture, the next place where there was cool waters. The shepherd had to know intimately the needs of each of his sheep and how to take care of them. And he did it. He did it for the king's reputation. The shepherd knew that his reputation as a shepherd and coming back with all of his sheep, he would be well known in the area. But David took it further. I shepherd, I am a shepherd of these people for the sake of God's name, for God's reputation. So when Jesus calls himself the good shepherd, the people who would have listened to this would have thought right away back to Psalm 23, to the shepherd king, the king when Israel was in all its glory. When they heard good shepherd, that's the picture they would have thought of. They would have thought about a shepherd king who knew the sheep intimately well, and a king that would follow the great king, the king of the universe. The people would have recognized what Jesus was saying right away. But here's the part that would have surprised them and made them sit up and think. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I am. Those two words would have made these listeners think, wait a minute, this shepherd is something different. They would have thought back to the I am of Moses asking God, who should I say is sending me? Tell him, I am is sending you. I am the good shepherd. Jesus makes the strong connection that he is the good shepherd, the Lord and King of the universe. I am is the good shepherd. I am has sent me, and I am will shepherd just the way the King of the universe leads you and shepherds you. And in this statement, I am the good shepherd, Jesus opens up a picture that's even beyond what the people could hope for in a good shepherd. Because what does Jesus say? The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The good shepherd will die for the sheep. Now that is something new. That would have made them go, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense. Think about it. If you were a shepherd, what makes more sense? To lay down your life for the sheep and possibly die and all the sheep are scattered, or to try to save as many as you could, or to run away and you could start your flock all over again? What makes the most business sense? To say that the shepherd would lay down his life for the sheep and then die would mean they were without a shepherd, at least as the people were thinking. This would have raised eyebrows. This doesn't make sense. The life of the shepherd is worth more than the sheep. They can always start a new flock. Jesus even points it out. Even a hired hand knows it's not worth losing his life for sheep. But Jesus is pushing into something. He is rearranging our understanding of the depth of love that the good shepherd has for his people. The depth of commitment. And Jesus says, the good shepherd's not coerced. He didn't draw the short straw and now you have to be the one who would lay down your life. No, Jesus says, I do this out of obedience. I do this out of the authority that was given to me to lay down my life and to take it back up again. That's how much I love this flock. Jesus is the I am, the one who has come to save. Jesus is the good shepherd who knows the sheep intimately because that same I am was the one who created the sheep. Jesus knows how to pace the flock, to lead the flock to the good places, the places of thriving, the places of life. And he reminds us that his flock is like no other and it continues to grow, that there are more sheep in our pen, in our fold, than we may be aware of. There are two insights into Christ the Shepherd King that remind us that he is no ordinary shepherd. Because he has the authority to lay down his life and take it back up again, nothing can separate the sheep from the shepherd. Nothing can separate us from the love of the I Am, of our Shepherd King. And he does it out of obedience and for the name's sake, for God's glory, not for his own glory, but for God's glory. We are sheep in need of a shepherd. We were created to follow. Doesn't mean that there won't be opportunities for us to lead or to be under shepherds, but one of the truths that we can leave with this morning is that we were made, we were created to follow. We weren't created to lead our own lives and find our own paths. God knows the path to life. We were created to follow him. We can hear his voice. We can recognize the Good Shepherd calling us. We're reminded today that not only are we created to lead, and that leadership that we follow will lead us to life. It'll lead us to blessing. Now, this is the part of the sermon. I've shared this sermon in a couple other places where it gets dicey. So I'm just giving you a heads up, because it gets a little farmy. But I hope you'll hang in there with me. So as I was talking to Tom, who's way more farmish than I am, as I have mentioned, he said, you know what? What do sheep leave everywhere they go? Take a moment, think about it. They leave a blessing, and we would not think of sheep manure as blessing, would we? But it is, because everywhere they go, they create a space where more grass can grow, where it can be fertile. That's part of the ecosystem. Sheep take up the grass, but they're also making sure that more grass can grow. When we see in here that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me, we often think that surely goodness and mercy will surround me wherever we go, wherever I am. We see it as more directed towards us because we're following the Good Shepherd. And I want to challenge us a little bit in that actually we're leaving behind goodness and mercy. Everywhere we go, if we follow the Good Shepherd, we are leaving traces of blessing for others to be blessed by. And that motivates me, actually. It takes me out of this place where the Good Shepherd makes me all safe and warm, and I don't want to move out of my sheep pen. And it reminds me that when I go through the path of the valley of the shadow of death, I can do that because I know who I'm following, and I know that whatever I leave behind will bless someone else who has to go on that path as well. That sometimes my suffering, sometimes the places where I'm nervous and scared, actually have purpose beyond me. That even when the path is rocky and difficult, and we know that there are times in our lives when it doesn't feel like goodness and mercy is surrounding us, if we're honest. At least I'll claim that for me. There are times in my life where it doesn't feel like the path is so righteous. And yet I know that if I follow the Good Shepherd, surely goodness and mercy will follow me. Someone can be blessed even as I walk through the valley of the shadow. That encourages me that there is a deeper purpose and meaning for some of those rockier and more difficult paths. But I need to follow. I need to remember it's not up to me to determine where I go or who I journey with. That the Good Shepherd calls me to follow and to trust. And to remember that he has been faithful in the present and in the past, and he will be faithful in the future. And I'm reminded when we go through times as under-shepherds, whether we're on council or on leadership teams, that just as David and Moses had to look to the Good Shepherd as a model of leadership, we're reminded that our job is to also value and know the flock well, to love the people that God has given us to under-shepherd, that our main goal is to lead to flourishing. And maybe that sometimes when we're called to lay down our life, it isn't so much our lives, but Maybe it's our life agenda that we wish for people or for other people. To set it aside and say, God, I will follow and trust that you will be able to bless even me, an imperfect under-shepherd. And I will follow you for your name's sake. And I will lead you, I will follow you and lead your people as an elder, as a deacon, as a ministry leader. Not so that people will remember how great I was, but they will remember that I was a good follower of you. And everything I did was to bring you honor and glory. May we be reminded today of a constant, loving, good shepherd, and nothing can separate us from him. May we be reminded today that when we go through the valley of the shadow, we can still trust the promises that God will leave behind blessing wherever we go. And those of us who are tasked with the job of leading this congregation through a time of transition, that we can be under shepherds who follow the good shepherd. And we can love and care for the sheep because of the way it was modeled through for us through Jesus. Let's pray. God, we come to worship from all different spaces and places in life. Some of us feel the strong, strong call of leadership right now and may need to be reminded that leading is really following you well. Some of us may feel like we are walking on difficult paths. Some of us may find following so challenging. Remind us to lift our heads, to look at your rod and staff, and to be reminded of your faithfulness to your people throughout the ages. Some of us may be new to this following you, and we ask, Lord, that you will help us to trust that your way is the way to life. We thank you for your word. We thank you for how it shapes us and gives us hope. May we leave this place just a little bit different. And may wherever we go, goodness and mercy follow us for your name's sake. In the name of Jesus, amen.